Raymond Grace has taken dowsing to new heights, empowering individuals to gain more control of their lives. He lectures across North America, speaking to a wide variety of audiences, including dowsing societies in the U.S. and Canada. His work has been used to reduce violence in schools. We've got to talk about this. And to eliminate abuse of women and children. He has taught classes for social service agencies in Virginia and classes for policemen in North Carolina. And he's been a guest on numerous radio talk shows and has also produced a video on purifying and energizing water. In addition, he has authored 3 books, The Future is Yours, Do Something About It, Techniques That Work for Me, and Seasons of April, How to Help Your Kids Succeed. He's our guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Raymond, how are you? Welcome back.
Thank you, George. I'm doing fine. And you?
Good. It's been a long time.
It has. It's been a little over a year.
And as a matter of fact, I'm told that you had tremendous response when you were on with me in March of last year.
Tremendous is kind of an underestimation.
Well, you know, when we first talked, you really got me started on the power of energizing. And I want you to take us back a little bit, Raymond. Tell us a little bit about what this is first for new people who don't know who you are, who are saying, what are they going to talk about tonight? Go ahead.
Okay, we want to talk about how that we have been able to energize water for the physical benefits of both people, animals, and I am told people have actually cut flowers in the water and they don't wilt after months. And we've created, see, we learned something on your show last year. You had us do an experiment in which you asked if the listeners out there would set a container of water by the radio. Well, you caught me off guard because I didn't know you were going to ask that.
I never planned these things.
Well, that's okay. No problem. It went beautiful. I mean, it was one of the best things you could have possibly done for me. Because we energized water for your listening audience that night. And that was in last of March, after roughly 13, 14 months, I am still getting feedback all over U.S. and Canada, everywhere I go, of people that were listening to the show that night. They energized water, and it did everything from taste different to make arthritis go away.
That's incredible. Because if I remember, Raymond, you said that you could keep the batch, because you don't. What you do is whatever they made up, they could use little portions of it, and you put it in other kinds of water, right?
That was the plan, and in some cases this seems to have worked well, and in some it didn't seem to work as well. And the only explanation I have to offer on that is that water is, I guess the word is, impressionable. Mr. Emoto, the Japanese scientist, has shown that water has memory by changing the molecular structure and then making pictures of it.
Right. He could verify, for example, that with crystallized water, that if you, let's say, hit it with nice music, like Mozart or something like that, the crystals will be gorgeous under a microscope. But if you throw really bad music at it, the crystals would look horrible.
That's correct.
Yep.
Well, apparently, and I don't know this for a fact, it's the only explanation I have, is that water that has been exposed to negative thought forms, perhaps arguments in the home or family, wherever, has probably absorbed that, and maybe that's what made the energy go down, why that it became ineffective. That's really the only explanation that I have to offer.
Okay, I might want to do that experiment again tonight, and we'll give everybody and you enough time to prepare. Is that okay?
That'd be fine.
All right, now let's go back a little bit, too, in terms of dowsing. You know, that's been around for hundreds, maybe thousands of years?
Yes, sir, as far as I know.
How did it start?
Now, that I wouldn't know how it started. I can tell you how I do it.
Okay.
I use a pendulum, and everyone's always wanting to know what I use. And last year I told you a 9mm bullet. Well, I've graduated to a 45 caliber now. So
we don't need
it on a chain.
But we don't need that, right? We can still do it with something else.
Yeah, you can do it with whatever you got. And the real truth is, I don't know if you need anything except a good open mind and intentions. A mind is a lot like a parachute. They work a lot better if they're open. So All I ever really have to use is intention. I was actually energizing water before I ever learned how to use dowsing. So it's really intent. I've got some pretty good stories here after a while on some of the things we've been able to accomplish with it. So, and if you summed it all up in a nutshell, that would probably fit the majority of America out there. You simply put your intentions into the water. You say a prayer over it. You say an affirmation, whatever is within your belief system.
Raymond, the energizing of water and the pendulum, tell us a little bit about that. How does that work? What are we doing here,
actually,
scientifically, I guess?
Well, what I did on the show last year, while we were on a station break, and you were playing the commercials and so on, I was preparing the water. Now, by preparing, I had no idea or way of knowing how many glasses of water were sitting by radios out there. So I simply asked what I refer to as my dowsing system, or sometimes the spirit world, if I could affect all that water simultaneously. I got that I could. Now, how did I get this information? By the movement of the pendulum. It gave me a yes when I said, can I do this? Any reason not to? I got a no. So then I just went for it. And we had to clear the water. By clear it, I mean we had to remove any negative energy that was in that water, such as what usually affects water as much as anything, especially commercial water and bottled water, is the spirit of greed. And see, water has a spirit. Now, this is Native American philosophy, but really, water has a spirit. And if you're going to make any, if you're going to energize water to any significant degree, you need to make sure that the spirit of the water is in it. And in order to do that, you have to clear out any negative energy that would hinder the spirit of water or prevent it from being in there. Now, I know this sounds maybe a little confusing, and we've actually come across this just through a few years of experimenting. Because in an experiment once at Ozark Research in Arkansas, I was attempting to energize an entire room full of water. Well, all at once I could feel something isn't right here. And I started looking around, and I found that there was one bottle of water in the room that had a different type of label on it than what most folks had there, and it did not have the spirit of water in that container, but I didn't know why. So it was just a series of quick questions. It probably took us about 5 minutes to figure out. The water seemed to have the spirit of greed in it. Well, we were able to remove this. See, every emotion has a spirit. Fear has a spirit, hate has a spirit, greed, jealousy, all these things. And these are energies that we find in water. We find them within the energy fields of people, and we find them within homes, schools, offices, and so on. Now, no one really told me all this. This is just what we have kind of evolved over the years of trying to accomplish something. So it's kind of different information, I realize, but what we find is that whenever we can eliminate the spirits of negative emotions, now these aren't ghosts or spooks, it's just that everything has a spirit to it.
By the way, on our program tomorrow, we're talking with a couple individuals. There's apparently a poltergeist, a ghost type, that somehow uses water for what they do. So with what you do on the good end, there's the opposite. Which is amazing.
There is, because I have found demons in water.
All right.
It was a surprise to me. But how do we know it worked? Well, simply because things improve when you remove the negative energies. That's the only way we know any of this stuff works, is because conditions improve.
You know, scientists are telling us that water is an essential ingredient for life, that without it, it's not going to happen. And I'm convinced of that as well. Do you believe, Raymond, that water is as alive as you and in my board op and my producer and everybody else?
Well, yes, I do, because the way I see it is a little more down to earth and hillbilly fashion, I guess. But the way I see it is, our entire existence upon this planet, regardless of our technology, depends upon 6 inches of dirt and water. So our bodies are made of mostly water, And with the work that we have done, we find that we can change the energy in this water, and in many cases, not in all, but in many cases, we can actually get physical results from this.
Now, next hour, we are going to do another experiment where we're going to attempt to energize water with Raymond. So everybody get ready. What do you think they'll need to have on hand, Raymond, next time?
They would need a container, and it doesn't matter how big. I think we could use a tanker truck if I can get one in the living room there. And it needs to be as good a quality water as possible, but I realize a lot of people may only have tap water out there, but we'll work on it anyway.
Okay. All right. So that's all they need.
And a good open mind on their part and a desire to make something happen.
You're going to do the pendulum and all that.
Right? I'll take care of the work if they just kind of focus the intent.
Okay, that'll be next hour, so everybody get ready for that. Now, once you do that experiment, what do they do with this water?
Well, you need to put a thought form in it. Now, a thought form is nothing more than, in my estimation, nothing more than an intention. And that's what I do to a lot of water, is I put an intention into it. What do you want it to do? We have had people eliminate their arthritic pain. We've had them help their animals with it. We have one story of where this video I made with the water was used to energize water for a person who had a very, very serious rash and more like scales on his arm. And he rubbed it on there a few times, and it couldn't have been more than a couple of days because I had just seen the video. And the feedback I got from him was the scales were falling off, the skin was returning to normal. Now, we're not making any claims or promises that we're going to do this for anybody. I'm just quoting to you the feedback that I have gotten.
From this audience and some other people.
Oh, yes. From your audience and from the other people that I deal with out here every week all across North America.
Let's say someone's got very sore bones and he wants to take a bath. She wants to take a bath. You don't dump whatever you energize for them tonight. You don't have to dump the whole thing in there, right? You can just put a few drops in there?
Well, that has been our experience with it because, after all, we did use only one drop and change the energy field. Now, the energy field, this was measured with dowsing. It wasn't scientific stuff, but it was measured with dowsing. But we energized about a 23,000-gallon swimming pool with one drop of water, and the water, the original energy field of that pool was about 3 feet, and it expanded to 40 feet within a matter of minutes.
Okay, now let's talk about the properties of this water, the energizing, and why it works. What happens?
Okay, I don't know if I can answer that question very well for you because I don't really know why it what happens.
And maybe nobody does.
I have been fooling with this for years because I realize that we're in trouble. The world is. All over the world on water. Every day we have less drinkable water, and every day we have more people using it. And the reason I got into it was because of my kid. I got to thinking, by the time she's old as I am, what's she going to be paying for a bottle of water? And somebody has to do something, so I just volunteered for the project. And I had no idea it would catch on as well as it did. And we have four projects that we are trying to promote out here worldwide, and the water project is one of them.
Now, tell me a little bit about your project of decreasing violence in schools. How are you tying this into what you do?
Well, since energy is impressed upon matter and our thoughts are energy, it seems then that we can project our intentions to various places and situations and be able to change them for the better. Now, what we've done, we've started a website. The Toronto Doubters have a website, and it's called the Project Network, and there's a link to it on my website also that has a brief description of how to change the energy in schools. Now, our experience on this has been somewhat limited, but quite positive. We have been able to, or at least we believe we have, and when I say when we've been able to, that means the conditions were very poor to start with, and we did our work and conditions improved, so that's really the only evidence I have to offer. But in one school, and the rapport between the students and the faculty among themselves was very poor, and a teacher in the school asked if I would get involved, and this school had a population of approximately 1,600 students.
That's a lot of kids.
I'll withhold the location on it.
Oh, I understand.
But there was vandalism in the community of shooting out windows at night with pellet guns, and a vigilante committee was being formed to patrol the streets at night to stop this. We cleared the school, the property, the kids, the faculty. I got an email a few days later from the teacher saying that the conditions in the school, the rapport, the respect, and so on had greatly increased, but what really happened was all the violence in the community stopped.
How did that happen? What did you do specifically?
Well, basically, I depossessed the place and the people.
Same technique?
Same technique as with water, yeah. The principles are the same on all these things. They're just applied in a little different manner. It's just a lot simpler than people think it is.
Almost like an exorcism, sort of.
It's exactly an exorcism. Now, there's more to it than just an exorcism. An exorcism, by my simple definition, is to remove negative spiritual forces.
Right.
Okay. Well, you need to go a little bit further than that with water. You need to take out any negative thought forms. Well, actually, you do the same thing with clearing energy in a school. You take out the negative thought forms. You remove the negative energetic patterns. Scientifically stated, energy is impressed upon matter. Okay, our thoughts are energy. The school, the water, our human bodies, they're matter. Okay, if something happens at a place, let's say a battlefield, the energy of a battlefield is certainly different than the energy of a garden where people goes out and grows their vegetables or flowers or whatever. Why? Because of the events that have happened there. I tell people, if you doubt this, go visit your local funeral home. Then go visit a party house. Feel the difference. What makes the difference? The emotions of the people who have visited these places.
True. And you can feel it in the facility.
Yes. Okay, that's one of the major things we're finding in schools are negative energetic patterns. Okay, these things are energy. Right here, George, is the bottom line of everything I do. And that is based upon this, that everything is composed of energy, and the intelligent human mind has the ability to change energy. That's it in a nutshell.
And that's what you do.
Well, that's what we think we do.
When we come back at the top here, at that half hour here, can you teach us how to do this?
Yeah, I'll run you through that. It's basically what's on our project network, but sure, I'll be glad to do that.
Okay, now this is not the water experiment. That we're going to do next hour, and then Raymond will tell you how you can use this in an application every day. When you started getting responses from our listeners when we did this program in March of last year, Raymond, did it surprise you?
Well, yes, it did, and it caught me totally off guard. And I still have emails, many, many, like maybe a couple hundred, that haven't been answered and unfortunately probably won't be, simply because I'm on the road a lot. And if I'm only home a couple of days during week-long trips and sometimes as much as 3-week-long trips, there simply isn't time to answer all this mail.
The After Dark newsletter, the UFO edition, it is a dandy. You can still get that and 14 issues for the price of 12 when you call 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back in a moment with our guest Raymond Grace and Energize Water on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie, Raymond Grace, our guest. Raymond, some people are asking, by the way, some people have to go to work. They're still listening to the show, but they want to know if they can put a glass of water by their radio, keep it turned on when they're on their way out the door.
I don't see any reason not to.
Okay, so they physically don't have to be there, right?
No, sir. We've energized a lot of water without the participation of the person that was going to drink it.
All right, let's talk a little bit about how one removes negative energy from water or anything else, like the school building, as you mentioned.
Let me briefly explain then. I use every bit of, use all these methods with dowsing, or let's, another way of saying is dowsing is a way I use all these techniques, might be a better way to say it. And I use this little pendulum I have here, or sometimes I'll use a different type of instrument called a bobber, but right now let's just stick with the pendulum. And what this does, this tells me that energy is being moved. And also, it you can tell by the length of time and the velocity at which your dowsing instrument moves how much energy is required to correct something. Now, clearing energy, no matter where it is, the first thing you have to do is recognize the problem before you can solve it. So you have to check the place out, and I usually check to see what is the energy level, and we have a scale on which we measure this. And I'll check the energy level of a school. We do this in every week somewhere. If there's someone in the audience that has a kid in school, that's usually what we take for a class project. So the first thing I always look for is any type of negative spiritual interference, by whatever name. And we will actually depossess the place or do an exorcism, one and the same. And it takes, maybe 30 seconds. And all I do, I work very closely with the spirit world. And actually, I tell people I don't do anything. All I do is ask that it get done. I just ask my spirit helpers to take the negative entities that may be in a place or affecting the people. Basically, we chase out the ghost, to simplify it. And a mass exorcism might take me, 30 seconds to a minute.
That's pretty fast.
Well, I tell people there are those out there that do exorcisms, have been for hundreds of years. We can usually have the spooks chased out before they ever get their candles lit.
That's pretty darn good. Okay, now, why do you need the pendulum or the bobber or whatever?
I'm not going to say that you do need it. They're simply tools.
Okay.
Now, they're good tools, but I'm not going to tell you that it is a necessity. The biggest reason that I use them is because it gives me a physical movement for what I probably already know intuitively, but I either don't recognize that I know it or I think that I'm making it up. And also, it gives me a physical movement when the job is completed. So having a physical movement is evidence that seems to satisfy our left brain.
Raymond,
go ahead, please.
The movement of this energy to get rid of the bad and just keep the good, What happens to the bad energy after you move it?
All right. Let me give it to you kind of word for word, the way I have written it up in my techniques book.
All right.
I simply ask my spirit guide to take the negative energies that are affecting the people, the place, and so on, over to another realm where they will be given appropriate treatment, sent on to where they're going. See, I'm no authority on these realms of the spirit world, but having visited a few of them, there are other realms out there or other dimensions other than the one in which we live here. And it seems that these things, some of them come from another dimension. Now, what we refer to as negative entities, what you might call ghosts, as near as I can determine, are the spirits of human beings who once lived on Earth. And they may be stuck here for various causes or various reasons. If you want to talk about walking spirits over at while, I'll be glad to tell you some stories on that. The next thing is, which is even worse, is what I call the demonic forces, which apparently are non-physical. They have never lived as human beings, and they are from another dimension. Now, beyond that, I cannot offer much of an explanation. That and the poltergeist, they seem to be fairly similar. And we ask that they be taken to another dimension where they will not be able to return to Earth or do any harm. So the obvious question is, how do you know this stuff works? because conditions improve usually dramatically. I'd like to offer a very quick story.
Okay.
And I have some friends in Kansas who have a bacteria that will literally eat waste material. You can translate that to cow manure. So a lot of the ranchers, dairy farmers, feedlots, have what we might call a pond that they call a lagoon where they dump all the cow manure from the barns. Well, over time, the liquid is going to evaporate and the solids are going to get harder. This builds up and is expensive to clean out. Well, you release these little bacteria in there and they reduce the amount of solid matter in there. Well, I got a call one day. I get calls from all kind of people and conditions. They put this stuff in a lagoon and it doesn't work. And it's supposed to.
You mean the bacteria? The bacteria is not doing what it's supposed to do.
Right, it's not doing. It's dying.
All right.
And they want to know what is wrong. Well, right off the top of my head, I don't know what's wrong. I said, let me think about it. Call me back and let me know what happens. It's about a week, maybe a little more, before I hear from them because they are kind of making a circuit and they haven't got back to that particular farm. The farmer told them that the bacteria started working the day they called me. What did I do? I found a couple of demons in that lagoon, removed them. Now, the interesting thing about it, I don't even remember where it was. Didn't know at the time. I didn't get a map and look. I didn't have any sample of the material. That's what we found. We did this at a distance, and the bacteria starts working. Everything is fine.
You just thought of it, basically.
Really, I asked some spirit helpers to remove those things and take them to another dimension, lock them up so they couldn't come back. Like I say, I don't do anything. I simply ask that it get done. And this was one I tell folks they can engrave in a rock and put on the dining room table, is if you can establish a good working relationship with the spirit world, it's going to stack the deck in your favor tremendously.
Do you believe that every form of negative energy, it's demonically possessed?
No. I haven't found that at all. Actually, the demonic possession is something I rarely find. I will say that I found more of it since last mid-October than I had in my entire career of doing this.
Why is that?
Well, this is a semi-educated guess that the veils between the spirit world and the physical world became very thin long about Halloween, which is why we have Halloween then. And it seems like there was more stuff came through than had ever come through in my experience.
You could feel that?
Well, it wasn't so much that I felt it. It's just that I found so much more of it affecting people and buildings.
That's something. I mean, but when you walk past a place that is just loaded with negative energy, does it hit you?
Yes, it usually does. Now, I am not as sensitive as many other people are. And it's not that I feel anything physically. It's just like a knowing. Call it a psychic feeling, whatever. But, yes, you can usually feel this stuff. And whenever we feel it, we usually do something about it, especially if we're going to have to stay in there. Just for example, I clean out all the hotel, motel rooms where I am traveling. So I can get a good night's sleep because I have been tired a few nights, forgot to do it, didn't sleep because the darn place was haunted. So actually, I feel like the motel ought to pay me for staying there because I cleaned the place up for them.
Really? Do you do this wherever you go?
Yeah, if I have my wits about me enough to do it, I do. And if any time we're going to have a class, I always try to clean the classroom up before we ever get there. Not only that, I do my best at cleaning up the participants in the class before they ever show up.
That's so important. Now, how can people do this themselves?
Well, this is going to sound like a commercial. I don't want it to, but that's why I wrote a book on this stuff, called The Future Show to Do Something About It and Techniques That Work For Me. I'll describe it in there, but how do you do it yourself? Well, first off, you have to get a little bit of understanding of what you're doing. And then the next is, see if you can establish some type of a rapport with what I call your spirit helpers or your spirit guides. Because trying to do this stuff just with what I call main strength and awkwardness can really get you in trouble. Because I used to try to, I used to chase ghosts out of houses just because I was interested in doing it. And yeah, it worked, but you get beat up sometimes. And that's why I finally got smart enough to send a representative. And that's where your spirit helpers come
that
in.
That is smart. That's good management, by the way.
Well, it saves a lot of wear and tear on me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make it far more efficient, too.
How much of your work consists of, like, cleaning up schools and other violence and or just taking care of water?
Well, not that much on schools right now. That usually only comes out whenever you're doing a class, that people have kids in a very negative situation and they want help, so we always try to help them. Most of the calls I get are just for homes, not schools. Like I did one today. Actually, sometimes I do several a day. People say, okay, I'm sick, or things don't feel right, or my husband and I are fighting all the time, or my kids have problems. Well, the first thing you got to look for is negative spiritual influence. Now, when I say that includes a whole lot of stuff, including poltergeist. So that's the first thing you always remove, because without that, nothing else is probably going to work.
Where did I read that a police officer, I think it was an endorsement in your book.
That is correct. It's on the first page.
That a police officer endorsed it, basically. Tell me about this story.
Yes, sir. Well, this was he was a longtime friend of mine, and there was a serial killer they called him the I-29 Stalker, south of Charlottesville, Virginia. And this fella came to me and wanted to know if I could help find him. Well, my abilities of finding people aren't that good. Because one night the police called and offered me $45,000 to find one of their most wanted in the nation. And believe me, I tried, but I wasn't successful. But I said, you know, I bet I can stop him. He was dead within 4 days. Now, what happened on this I-29 Stalker? He just disappeared. Now, no one knew who he was. There were posters out all over the state of Virginia for him, but no one really knew who he was, because no one had been able to identify him because he killed his victims. Well, he disappeared for 6 years. Now, frankly, I didn't know if he was dead or alive. About 7 years later, he surfaces again. He makes one attempt. The person recognizes, the lady recognizes him, and the man killed himself.
Now,
this is a matter of public record. We have worked on a number of cases like this, like a serial rapist that was on the University of Arizona at Tucson about 3 years ago. I had 13 known victims. I was asked to get involved, and 4 months later, I received a notice that there had been no more instances of that type. I was doing a talk in Tucson this past November. The lady was in the audience. She stood up and announced to the audience what happened and said there had been no more attacks since then. Now, did the work I do it? Well, I can't prove that. All I can say is after we worked on it, things changed. And there's been numerous instances like that. And one of the things I try to do is teach other people how to do it. And in a nutshell, in my opinion, the best way to depower an evil person is to remove the negative spiritual influence.
What would happen if you had an entire population doing this at the same time?
By God, you'd make a world a heck of a lot better place to live in.
That's what I thought. And if, especially if they focused and channeled on something, right?
Well, that is the reason we have this project called the School Project, to try to get people woke up and to educate them. And we've got four projects going. And we don't get a cent for any of them. We don't even ask anybody for donations. We're simply asking people to do something. So this is not a commercial project at all. It's simply a way to improve conditions here in the world in which we live.
And everybody get ready, because right after the top of the hour, we're going to do this water experiment. And by the way, can you do it, turn some of this water into ice cubes?
I haven't been able to do that, but I'll tell you what. Someone read my book and wrote me an email saying that she used these techniques and prevented the water from freezing in a horse trough last winter.
Oh,
she
really?
Having to cut holes in the trough so the horse could drink.
Now,
And she said she stopped it freezing.
as good as this might work, Raymond, if you had a pool of polluted water, you wouldn't drink from it, even if you did this, would you?
Well,
I wouldn't.
not if I could do better, I wouldn't. But if you're asking me if there was no other water to drink, would I energize polluted water and drink it if nothing else was available? Yes, I would.
How about with salt water? Could you do that? Could you
Now,
get rid
that I
of?
don't know. We have no evidence that we've ever taken salt out of water. Now, we have evidence we've taken arsenic out of it. I mean, we have reports by the whatever the water control board is in Canada, where the water was tested before and after, and arsenic disappeared. And I figure, well, heck, if we can take arsenic out of water, we can probably take anything else out. But no, I've never tried it on salt water.
Were you concentrating on taking out the arsenic?
Yes, I was asked to do it.
And you did.
Well, according to the water analysis reports, it went somewhere. The water contained, now this was after it had gone through the best of the filtering systems the man had. It still contained 46 parts of arsenic per million. 2 months later, he calls, and his unfiltered water then contained only 7 parts per million. He had it tested a year later. There was barely a trace of arsenic in it.
What's the most dramatic story that you've ever encountered?
That's probably it right there.
Right there.
Because I talked to an environmental lawyer about this, and she was telling me, she said, no one in the history of the world has ever taken arsenic out of water. And I said, well, I never went to school and learned it couldn't be done.
I always thought that when people were doing dowsing, that it was with tree branches or something like that, and they were walking around looking for water.
Well, that
That's.
is the general term on it. But I figured if people could find a vein of water, maybe several hundred feet under the earth, there's got to be something more there than the five senses. So rather than use a tree branch and look for water, I use a pendulum and look for negative energies that's affecting people. Same principle.
Is there some kind of force that's out there in the universe, Raymond, that somehow we're all connected to, including water and everything else?
Well, I believe so. I believe that everything and everyone is connected to each other. I don't think I can make a real scientific sounding statement on this, but yes, that's what I believe. And because all things are composed of energy, including our human bodies, and there is one way of saying this is all energy is intelligence and all intelligence is energy. And call it the Great Spirit, the Creator, God, whatever you want, it is within each one of us. And if that be true, then we're all connected to everything else. And if we're all a part of the earth, if the earth is sick, can we be totally well? This is why I'm doing whatever we know how to do to improve things. And if you want to talk later, we'll talk about putting thought forms into rainstorms.
Does that work too?
I haven't been able to prove that it does, but I don't know of a reason that it couldn't. Not only that, we don't know if we're at this point yet or not.